As I look at the verses I was wanting to share this morning in Scripture, verses in Colossians, in the whole book of Colossians itself, I see that as Paul's way of speaking to the people at Colossae about who we are as a family and who we are in Christ, and that change that has been made in our lives from Christ's death and resurrection, and our us putting our faith in Him. I was sitting back on the bleachers during the prayer time and just listening to many of the prayer requests, not just any particular one, but many of them. And I watched this church, this body of believers, interact in a way that only a family can do. Only those who have our faithful and eternal Father can reach out in the way that our family is reaching out. It brought me to the point where I wanted to get up here and open my iPad up and get ready to teach and then close my iPad up and walk away and say, this has already been taught. It's already been taught in the love that we have for each other in our body of believers. And I've said this numerous times as I've watched our group interact and as I've watched the Holy Spirit working in the lives of each of us and react, that this is a healthy, growing body of believers that love each other. And I am so pleased to be able to teach a little bit and in my feeble way of telling of God's love and God's working in our lives. Each of us have feet that run towards destruction. Each of us have, as I mentioned last week, those secret sins that if they were known, we'd be all suicidal. Each of us live our lives, though we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ, though we are His holy ones, we still live in the flesh. And the flesh cries out with such a desire to live, such a strong and powerful urges to walk away from God, to walk away from His holiness. It's only in our faithfulness, in His faithfulness, it's only through His faithfulness in us that we have any hope to grow to be more like Him. And I think that's what Paul is saying to the Colossians as he sees what's going on in their church, as he sees what's going on with those that were pushing and try to say, you can add more to what Christ has already done. You can add more to what God's perfect plan for you is through your own strength. And Paul's saying, no, you can't. It's in our reliance of Him to live His life through us that we have any hope. Because our flesh does run towards destruction. Last week I talked a little bit looking at Colossians 3:12-17, and I want to today take a little bit deeper look into that. Colossians 3:12-17 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. I talked last week about the fact when throughout this book of Colossians and often in Scripture, it talks about putting on or putting off. And as we look at those two words, translated literally, it means to invest or divest, put on or put off. And as we look at the word invest in English today, you know, we kind of lose what its original meaning was. The word invest comes from a Latin word, which literally means to clothe. And here the word that we're translating as invest or divest, either one, depending on where you're looking, comes from the Greek word induo. And that word induo has the concept of sinking into a garment. So I was reading in my Strong's Concordance and looking at it, and I looked up induo, and it said sinking into a garment. And, you know, the first thought that comes to my mind is those cold mornings when I get up and I jump in the shower and I'm all nice and comfortable in the shower because I was all nice and comfortable and underneath my covers, and I get out of the shower and get dried off. And sometimes my house isn't as warm as I would like it to be. And I'm getting ready for work, and I pull on that nice, comfortable shirt, or that next step, that warm sweatshirt. And it's that concept to me. When I read the idea of sinking into, it's that thought comes to my mind of putting on that warm sweatshirt, and now that cold that was pressing on me, that cold that was making me so uncomfortable, is being held out, is being displaced by that sweatshirt that's holding that warmth in. And so, as Paul's talking about this, he's saying, clothe yourself with these things. And I'm going to turn back a little bit where he talks about clothe yourself with these things, and then he gives us a list of things that we should put on. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, with patience. As I look at these things, the things that he lists are things that, as believers, they touch relationships. Each one of these things is an attribute of who Christ is. These things are things that we see in Christ. Clothe yourself with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, and with patience. As I look at who Christ is in my life, those are the things that, as I'm living in Christ, should be coming out of me. These are the things that, as I make my life to be a reflection of who He is, these are the things that I should emulate. Clothing has a twofold purpose. We put clothing on to cover our nakedness. And we use clothing to hold away from us those things that would push so hard against us, the elements that would destroy us. And it becomes a part of who we are. Our clothing shows us who we are. So as we're living our lives in Christ, as we put on these things, it becomes those things which show us who we are in Christ. We need to sink into those things that Christ is. So therefore, as God's chosen people, clothe yourselves in that which makes you holy. We look at God as as who He is. He's the God of holiness. He is the God who is without spot or blemish. Christ is the Lamb of God who is without spot or blemish. And this is who He wants to transform us to be. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on your new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and in the image of its Creator, here there is no Jew nor Gentile, no circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. As I came up here today, I was incredibly moved by what I saw, and this is affecting everything that I'm teaching right now, because I saw in this body Christ working. I saw in this body a group of people who is allowing Christ to live His life through them. And everything that I was planning to say today just kind of went out the window, and I'm standing up here now trying to regroup myself and be able to move on to say, because you taught so well what I wanted to teach today. And what I wanted to teach today is how we should be as a body of believers, how we should be interacting as a body of believers. Because I think when Paul got to this part in the letter he was writing to the Colossians, he was saying, this is what it should look like as a family working well together. It should look like Christ. It should look like a group of Christ. The Christ who is without spot or without blemish, who is interacting as a family, because it is Christ in us. As Colossians says, it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. I started out by saying, our feet run towards destruction, and unfortunately, as it was pointed out this morning, a man who loved the Lord, who taught so well, his feet ran towards destruction. And he allowed the flesh to rule in his life in a way that it took away from, now looking back, it's taking away from the ministry that he had. But the truth of the matter is he was still God's Holy One. Even though the flesh ran towards destruction, his faith in Christ, in Christ's work in his life, made him his Holy One. It made him, Christ in him, the hope of glory. And the truth that he taught does not change by who he was in the flesh. As with us, each of us, our flesh, our feet run towards destruction. But who we are in Christ doesn't change. Christ still looks at us and sees us as his holy ones. Not because of what we do, but because of what he has done in us. And here Paul was teaching the Colossians, who were hearing this over and over again, that they needed to add something more to what they were doing. He was saying, okay, no, here is who you are in Christ. This is who He made you to be. Okay, now, knowing that, put to death these things that are destructive in your life. Put off, disrobe those things that are bad, and put on those things which look like Me. Those things in which you, as you're putting them on, show who I am in you. In those things that show who I am in you are those that I just spoke of. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against somebody, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Earlier in the chapter, Paul talks about sharing in the inheritance of God's holy people. And here we have the Judaizers that are coming and saying, here, you need to add this, you need to add this. And what Paul is saying to them is, no, you are already sharing in this inheritance. You don't have to turn back to the law. You don't have to add to what Christ has already done. You are sharing in the inheritance. Those who would lead the body astray would lead the body astray by trying to change who Christ is, by trying to make Christ no longer be the center of our focus, no longer be the center of who we are. But Christ is the center of who we are, because we are adopted into His family. And as Paul's talking to the Colossians, he's also talking to the people that were trying to lead him astray. And as they hear him say that they're sharing in the inheritance, they automatically know that Paul is saying, you are equal now to the chosen people. Because, as he says, as God's chosen people, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself. You know, a lot of pastors will try to look at that word chosen, and sometimes it's translated as a, the word just slipped in my mind, sorry, as a predestined. And they get off on that. But if you look at the way Paul has formed this letter, just before this, he's talking about there's no difference between the Jew or the Gentile. And so when you read this, that as God's chosen people, he's saying, you now share in this inheritance which the Jews had claimed for themselves only. You now share in this inheritance as God's chosen people. So now, clothe yourself, dearly beloved, or holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with these things. We have been adopted into His family. We are part of who He is. And that whole idea of that inheritance is woven throughout the Old Testament, as we see. So the Jews would have already automatically known, as they were reading this letter, as this letter was being read from the people of Colossae, they would have automatically known that Paul was saying to them, okay, what you're trying to do is to impute onto them the law that was given to Moses, that they have to follow the law to be holy. And what Paul was saying is, no, you don't have, that's not what it's all about. It's about the righteousness of Christ. It's about through faith you are saved, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, knowing that, then put to death these things. And Paul does this neat little trick where he puts to death all these negative things that were so prevalent in the church at that time, those things that were so destructive. And all those negative things, just like all the positive things he says later, the positive things are the things which bind a family together, that things that which bind a church together, the things that are a picture of who Christ is. The negative things that he said just before, put to death these things, are those negative things which tear us apart. They're the sins that so easily beset us, those things that which so easily cause our feet to stumble. They are the things that our feet run towards destruction with. And Paul says, put those to death. And all of those are relational, both the negative things and the positive things. And I think this is the essence of this letter to the Colossians. This is who you are in Christ. Now live it and live for God and live for each other. Let your lives be a reflection of who Christ is in you, so that as you walk in your walk with Christ, you might walk together as a family. You might walk together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And then he concludes this whole concept by saying, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let the peace rule in your hearts. And one thing, as I was reading this, I noticed specifically, as Paul's addressing them, he's not saying, and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart to one person, but he's addressing them as the body of believer, and let the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. We as a body of Christ need to continue to live in love and walk in the Spirit. That as we walk in the Spirit, that we might become and remain and grow, not just individually in our walk with Christ, but as a body together, that we might love and be loved, that we might show who Christ is through us by the lives we live, so that the peace of Christ might rule in our hearts, since as members of one body, we were called to peace. And be thankful. I said it now 3 or 4 times, but I am just incredibly impressed with the way this body works together. I just loved watching this body come together and hold each other up. As each of us face struggles in our own lives, as each of us struggle to walk our daily walk with our Lord, because we live in the flesh, we live in these bodies, these broken vessels, it is Christ in us that's the hope of glory, but we still have to live in these broken vessels. And as we do live in these broken vessels, and as our feet run towards destruction, we face fear, we face sorrow, we face those sins that so easily beset us, and the pains that those sins bring. So that as we live our lives and as we let Christ shine through us, then it should be a matter of letting the message of Christ dwell among you richly in teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit. Singing to God with gratitude in our hearts, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Let us continue to walk our walk in Him. Let us continue to allow Him to lead His life through us, giving Him the focus. Because if we remember that Paul started this whole concept out by saying, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. To me, that's the heart of Paul's whole message to the Colossians. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I love that whole concept that your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Another translation of the word hidden is concealed. And as I think of that, I think of how God is holding us close, how God is concealing our lives from those forces which seek to destroy us. Those forces that would seek to allow the lives that we live in the flesh to destroy us. But God is holding us close and concealing us. God is taking care of us. That we might be His holiness. That Christ in us is the hope of glory, and that we are His holy ones through Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for Your love and for the love we have for each other. And I just pray, Lord, that that love might grow and manifest itself more and more. Lord, this morning I was overwhelmed by the love I saw poured out by believers towards each other. And in that, I just was overwhelmed and then struggled to teach well. And so, Lord, I just hope that the words that I was able to teach might be representative of who You are, and that we as a body might grow closer to You, loving You more and more and allowing You to live Your life through us. That we might be a testimony of that love, and that we might love each other, love You first, and then love each other more fully. Lord, thank You for Your Son. Thank You for His death and His resurrection. Thank You for making us Your holy ones through His blood. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.